teach us to pray. And we are learning how to pray better and better. And our text is in Luke 11, and if you'd turn there, Luke 11, 1, it says, it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So that's where we get this, teach us to pray. And this happened because they saw him. They saw the Master, Jesus, praying. He prayed a lot. And they saw him praying and they saw his results. And so it came to a point where they said, Lord, teach us how to pray like this. Now they grew up around synagogue and priest and the reading of Scripture, and so no doubt they had prayed and believed in God since they were young children. And yet, being around Jesus, they saw, we need to learn how to pray. Right? And you'll hear people say, you know, adamantly, oh, I believe in prayer. So do millions of people in false religions. Prayer is not the Savior per se. God is the Savior. Right? And all prayer is not good. There's a lot of praying. People would be much better off if they didn't do it. And the Scripture said, you know, that if you turn away your ear from hearing what God said, even your prayer would be an abomination. Well, that's a strong word. Well, you don't want to ignore what God said and pray something that's just blatantly contradictory to what he said to you. That's disrespectful. That's disobedient. And he cautioned us and warned us. In fact, if you just go over to Matthew 7, Matthew's account of this, this is the same thing where they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then eventually he told them what we call the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. And but before he said that, he told them how not to pray. He said, don't pray to be seen of men. Don't pray for other people's benefit. So this is very important. When you're praying, don't be thinking about who's seeing you and hearing you pray. It needs to be, if you're talking to God, give him your full attention. And a lot of our praying can and should be done privately. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not for somebody else's benefit. And so he said, don't pray to be seen of men. Then he said, don't pray vain repetitions like the heathen do. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. So the volume of prayer does not mean success. The Lord actually warned us. You know, sometimes people have thought, well, if we could just get enough people praying. No, that does not ensure. So that's obvious. Many, many times, a lot of people have prayed and nothing happened. What do you mean? Well, it depends on, you know, what people are praying and based on what and how they are. And if 100,000 people are following a confused leader, in prayer, then are their prayers going to be any different or in agreement with it? How can I know my prayer is right and something God can hear and something God can answer? There's a book.
Yeah, amen.
I said, there's a book.
Yeah.
Anybody heard of this book?
Yeah.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I'm telling you that take it to the Word, take everything to the Word, and that's how faith comes. If it's His Word, it's His will. And that's why the Master said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Hallelujah. Not just whatever you ask. Not the same thing. But if his word, which is why everybody at Faith Life Church reads their chapter every day, Monday through Friday. Now, if you don't know what that means, go by the information area on your way out, and they'll hand you a little marker with, all of us read a chapter every day. And why? Because that, how are you going to know what to pray, what his will is, and you don't know what he said to you? You know, years ago, when Phyllis and I were just married, and I had plans of going a direction professionally, and she had plans of going a direction professionally, and we got a hold of some teaching by Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle and Charles Capps, and boy, it messed up our plans. Thank God. And we got to praying and seeking the Lord, and I didn't know that we had a call on our lives for the ministry. Did not realize that at that time. That was not something I planned on doing. And so, but I knew that the more we fed on the Word and the more I prayed, something in me is just reaching out to God going. And so, I mean, sometimes the middle of the night would find me out in the front yard, or we lived around in the woods, out in the woods going, God, what? What is it? Thank God he didn't leave us alone. Amen. In our ignorance. Because I didn't know that we had a call on our life to do what we're doing today. Right. Didn't know that. Had no plans for that. And so I kept crying out to God. But in my immaturity, I'm trying to see something, hear something audibly, feel something. You know, I'm wanting him to write it in the night sky. You know, you're laughing, but you've been there too. Or maybe there right now. And so this went on for months. Months. And finally one day, I'm in our little 1969 Marriott mobile home with the genuine plastic couches. And the red shag carpet. Was it red, right? Red shag. Remember red shag carpet? And this was used red shag carpet. And I'm in that little living room. And I'm praying again. God, what is it? What is it? Talk to me. Tell me what. What is it? And finally I kind of slumped over. You know, tired, fatigued, and I looked over on the nightstand, and there was a Bible, and the Lord spoke to my heart, definitely. I didn't hear an audible voice, but very distinctly, like he'll speak to any believer if you'll learn how to listen. He said, Keith, I've said many things to you already in the book. Find out what I've already said to you. And if I want to say something else, I will. I sat up. I looked at the book. Okay. God's already said many things to me. I need to find out what he's already said to me. Right? And sure enough, do you know Jesus found his ministry in the book of Isaiah? Huh? So did John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Amen. Well, the servant's not above his master. Where are you going to find what you're looking for? I'm telling you, look in the book. Uh-huh. Right? God has already said, and if you've done this any length of time, you know the Spirit of God can quicken something to you. Is that right? Right off a verse from a page, and it exactly fits your situation. It's an answer, right? So Instead of trying to get God to speak to you in an audible voice or paint something in the sky like I was trying to do in my immaturity, you want God to talk to you?
Yes.
Open the Bible, any page, start reading out loud. It's God talking to you. And if He wants to say something else, He's well able to by His Spirit in different ways. But in Matthew 7, go to verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. I keep telling stories and... I'm trying to get to preach to you what I meant to preach to you last Sunday. And we ain't got to that yet. So, and that's one of the great things about us having our own church, right? We can just come back, you know, unless the Lord comes. And if He does, we won't care. We're like, hey, we're out of here, right? Matthew 7, 7. You know, previous verses is where He gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But this is just a few verses after that where He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Jesus is still teaching us about prayer. And these are three of the big things you do in prayer. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the first one, right? Ask. And like James talked about, you don't have because you didn't ask. And you'll have people got all kind of religious ideas that are contrary to the Bible, and they'll try to say, well, I'm just leaving it all up to God, acting like they're more respectful and more humble and more submitted than other folks, but it's actually being defiant. Because the Lord told you to ask. And there are reasons why. Multiple reasons why He said to ask. Whether you understand them or not, how many think you just should, if the Lord says ask, what should you do?
Ask.
You should ask. And if He says you don't have because you didn't ask, well, then whose fault is it that you didn't have? And so last week we camped on that a bit, and we said you need to question yourself frequently and say, did I ask? When did I ask? Phyllis and I do that all the time. Something will come up, something we see we need, or the church needs, or the ministry needs, and we'll look at each other and go, okay, did we ask? When did we ask? And if you can't remember you asked, you better ask.
That's right.
Is that right? Huh? Yeah. And so then the next one here is what? Seek. Seek and you shall find. You know, you can pray what's called the Lord's Prayer in less than 1 minute. Yeah. Well, sometimes Jesus spent all night praying. We know He's not just looping the same thing over and over. He told us not to do that. So what's He doing all that time? There's some asking involved, but there's something else. Seeking. What did the Master say? Ask, and what will happen? It shall be given to you. What else?
Seek.
Seek, and you shall find. What's the purpose of seeking? Finding. Seeking, finding. Are there some things you don't know?
Yes.
Are there some answers you need?
Yes.
Some direction you need?
Yes.
Understanding you need?
Yes.
Will the Lord give it to you if you don't ask for it or seek for it?
No.
Will it just happen anyway?
No.
Automatically? Well, then why would He tell you to ask and seek if it is? See, here's where people are missing it. People say, well, you know, God will show me. Did you ask? And then did you look for it? Did you seek for it? Now we have a preeminent example of this in a man by the name of Daniel. There's a book with his name, right? Go back there. Daniel And we'll begin reading at the 6th chapter. Daniel is held up to us as one of the most spiritual men in the Bible. And you know, the Bible doesn't hide people's faults and mistakes. It'll tell you where they messed up. But Daniel, we don't really see anything about where he messed up. Not saying he was perfect, but he is held up as one of the most spiritual people in the Bible. Obviously a prophet. But his country was overrun by a foreign power when he was a boy. And he was taken as a captive, pulled away from his home, transplanted into a foreign nation that worshipped all kind of gods and that spoke a language different from theirs and customs and cultures different from theirs. And you remember reading the book of Daniel that he and his friends took a stand real early as boys that they weren't going to compromise what the word told them about diet and drinking. Right. Huh? And God vindicated them. Hallelujah. Came through for them and gave them places of favor. And God helped them in their studies. Well, see, they were forced. They were forced to learn these new languages and all these new customs of this kingdom. And they not only did it, they excelled at it. Hallelujah. Now there's a lot to be learned here. Sometimes people think, if it's not Christian and proper doctrine, I can't work with this. Well, that'd have been in trouble. Right? No. God needs people who are witnesses in the darkest of places and the most ungodly of organizations and situations. And you don't have to go in there and straighten everything out before God can do something for you. Huh? You don't even have to shove Jesus down everybody's throat. What you do have to do is learn like Him to pray and believe God. And take a stand for what you know is God. Well, when you get to the 6th chapter, they have already had miracles. And then been promoted into places of leadership and even the highest levels of leadership. You talk about coming, they were basically slave boys, right? And now Daniel's almost running the country. And it's not a godly country. It's not a godly leadership at all. Notice in chapter 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Now, this particular empire was one of the biggest of the ancient worlds. I mean, it covered most of what we call Europe, Egypt, parts of Africa. I mean, this thing was gigantic, huge. He was known as a king of kings. He actually had kings under him in multiple countries. And he decided to put 120 princes over the whole kingdom. And over that 120, he was going to put 3 presidents that oversaw all of them. And Daniel was going to be first. Well, that means there's nobody with more power except the king. We saw that with Joseph, didn't we? Favor. With Joseph and Pharaoh. Can God call... Somebody needs to hear this now. Not just in the room, watching by internet. Can God bless you and use you in the midst of an ungodly group? Yes. Can He do it?
Yes.
Blasphemers.
Yes.
Cussers.
Yes.
Even some evil folks. In spite of all that, can God hear you?
Yes.
And bless you?
Yes.
And prosper you?
Yes.
And promote you.
Yes.
Yes, it's His will. God never changes. And so, that the princes might give an account to them that the king should have no damage. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. That's favor. But Daniel took care of the king's business too. Top notch. No sloughing off. No coming in unprepared for work. Huh? No falling behind on schedules and not keeping deadlines. If the king told him he wanted something, Daniel saw to it that it was there. It was right. He wasn't losing money. He wasn't getting hurt. That's part of it. And so the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They didn't like it. They think he's the king's favored boy. And they made him mad because he keeps coming up through the ranks, and now they're no higher to go. There was 120, and then the three over the 120, and then Daniel's number one over them. Rubbed him the wrong way, made him mad, and so they said, they looked for a problem with him. So they sent spies, and they rifled through his files, and they did all kind of stuff, but they could find no occasion or fault. They couldn't find any dirty dealings. They couldn't find any under the table stuff. They couldn't find anything. Should that be part of our witness too? Oh yeah. And because he was faithful, and there was no error or fault found in him. And so then these men said, we will not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
Come on. Yep.
And we won't be able to cause him any trouble in his business or his office or his stuff. He's too clean. He's too sharp. So we're going to have to get him on his religion. And so they got this idea, obviously, from the devil. And they gathered to the king. And they said, King Darius, live forever. Flattery. And the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and captains, all have consulted together. Everybody agrees. Probably was not true. To establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whoever will ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except of you, O king, he will be cast into the den of lions. Nobody throughout your entire empire, this would have been millions of people, can pray to any god or anybody except you, O king, for 30 days. And it worked because he was so full of ego. It worked on him. He thought, yeah. Okay. And they said, now establish the decree, sign the writing so that it'll not be changed, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Oh, friend, there's always something to look for. When people come and start talking about how great you are, huh? How amazing you are, and how you're the only one that can do it and should do it, and how you deserve it. You should be asking yourself, what do they want? What do, huh? What's in it for them? What do they want? and so that it won't be changed, so that it alters not. And verse 9, so the king signed the writing and the decree, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Oh, friend, are y'all with me? Look at this. Let your eyes rest on this. When he knew that the law had been passed, and Daniel's no dummy. He oversees all of these things. He knows in this kingdom, when they do this kind of thing, they do it so it cannot be reversed. That was their thing. That when they passed a law like this, nobody, not even the king himself, can change it. He knew that. But he went to his house, opened the windows. He's not hiding.
That's right.
Anybody see why he's in the book? He opened his windows. They would be nice windows. Huh? He's top man over the whole empire, over this whole kingdom. So he lives in a nice house, and he's got a nice place. But this is how he lives. He's a praying man. I said he's a praying man. Educated, aced all the exams, speaks multiple languages, but he prays. He knows that's not enough. And nobody's smart enough, they don't need to pray.
Amen.
Huh? Nobody. He said, he went to his house, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. Windows open. And prayed and gave thanks. Must have done it loud enough for somebody to hear him. Right? Prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Didn't change. Just like he did the week before they passed the law. Huh? So when you see Daniel, you go. Huh? What's he doing? Now here's what we're talking about. How important is prayer to Daniel? He knowingly risked his life to pray. I think we could pray. Huh? With the freedoms we enjoy. Right? In our country. Ain't nobody standing by ready to arrest us in the great U.S. of A. Because we prayed to our God. How much more should we pray freely? Gladly. How important was prayer to Daniel? And he didn't hide in the closet. Pray quietly. Open the windows up. Everybody can see him. He's kneeling down. He's going, oh, great God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here I am again. Thank you for the day. He prayed and gave thanks. He supplicated and gave thanks. And in case they missed that one, he did it again. A few hours later. And in case they missed that one, he did it again. Is that right? And then tomorrow, same thing. Next day, same thing. Should we pray today?
Yes.
Is it still needful to pray?
Yes.
Is it important enough to even risk your life to pray?
Yes.
See, a lot of people don't think so. But God hadn't changed. Things haven't changed. And so you know, without me going into all the detail, you know what happened is these men assembled. They found Daniel praying and making a supplication before his God. They came near and spoke to the king. See, that's a setup. Total setup. They said, didn't you sign a decree that every man that will ask a petition of any god for 30 days will be cast into the den of lions? The king said, yeah, that's right. And it's according to the law of the Medes and Persians that altereth not. You can't change it. They said, well, you know, Daniel. I'm sure when they said that, he thought, oh, no. They set this up. They got me. Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he doesn't regard you, O king. He's not respecting you. And the decree that you sign, he makes his petition 3 times a day. And boy, the king was upset with himself. And he did his best. He called the lawyers in. And he tried all day till the sun set. And they said, no, 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 it can't be changed. That's the whole deal. Can't be changed. And so he went to, he said, okay, take him. And they took Daniel, and he came with. And when they got to the den, he said, oh, Daniel, you know, your God that you serve, you know, let him deliver you. And they threw him in. And he spent a night in the lion's den. That would be an uncomfortable place to be.
Amen.
And, you know, most of the time they kept these lions half starved. And so, they were just, you know, violently ferocious. Anytime anything got around them that looked like food, that was the whole point. And so they didn't attack him. And I don't know if there was any light in there or not, but it's nighttime. No electricity. And so you can smell lions. You can hear lions breathing, grunting, growling.
Yep.
How many think Daniel was glad he was a praying man?
Amen.
And didn't start tonight to begin to learn how to pray and believe God? Because there's a lot of people, when it gets bad, they start. But you know, it'd be better if you knew something about how to before then. So it would have been a long night. And if you skip down to verse 18, the king went back to his palace. He wouldn't eat. He didn't let them bring any entertainment. He couldn't sleep. And he got up early the next morning and hurried down to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice to Daniel. And the king said, "Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions?"
Amen.
You got the ruler of the greatest empire on earth rooting for God.
Hallelujah.
Hoping. Is that right? That the living God came through. And of course, nobody naturally expected an answer from the bottom of the lion's den after all night. Until Daniel said answers. He said, "O King, live forever." Don't you know? The people that with the king, their eyes got about that big. They looked at him. He looked at them. He's ecstatic. And he said, "My God has sent his angel. And he has shut the lion's mouth. And they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before you, O king, I have done no hurt." And the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Oh, oh, oh. Do we know the same God? The same God of Daniel? Has he changed at all?
No.
Is Daniel praying and having faith connected to this?
Yes.
Well, the scripture said so. Well, what about you and I?
Oh, yes.
You know, you might not be thrown into the literal lion's den, but sometimes you feel like you've been thrown into a den or something. Right? That's not nice. What do you do? Praying and believing is what we do instead of worrying. Instead of being afraid. Instead of panicking and fearing and collapsing. Instead of breaking down, this is what we do. Right? When you feel the pressure, when you're pushed, when you're squeezed, don't act like an unbeliever. Don't act like a heathen and just panic and fear. What do you do? What do you do? Huh? In everything, in all things, let your request be made unto God. Is that right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer And thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Pray. Say it out loud. Praying is what I do instead of worrying. And the more pressure that comes against you, help me out. What do you do? That's the more you pray. That's the more you pray. And boy, that is exactly the opposite of what the devil wants to happen. You need to be like a nail. Huh? The harder you get hit, deeper you go. Is that right? Into God. Is that right? The harder they wail on you, that's just the further you go into God. Is that right? The deeper you go, the further you go into Him. Praying. Believing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now skip over to the 9th chapter. You will find multiple examples of Daniel praying in this book. Now this is not a big book. You can read it in a short amount of time. And if you haven't, I recommend you do. How many think every little one needs to know about Daniel in the lion's den? Huh?
Yes.
Oh man. Big ones too.
Yep.
You saw that today. Made you happy hearing about that. Is that right?
Yes.
Still true. Yes. Still right. In the 9th chapter, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel read his chapter. They didn't have the New Testament, but he had Jeremiah. Right? He had some writings, and he's reading his writings. And he realized that the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah that there would be 70 years accomplished. Well, see, this has big meaning to him because he has grown up his life away from his homeland. Right? And he's very much interested in when can we get past this? When can we get back to our homeland and Jerusalem? Because at that point, it looked like never. Impossible. But help me out now. What did Jesus say? Ask. It'll be given to you. What else?
Seek.
So you'll find Daniel excelled in this. And he had faith for this. He asked for things, obviously. But also, you're going to see the seeking right here. He wants to know, when is this coming to pass? And how is it happening? Well, you're going to need to hear from God. Because there are things that you'll never find out searching libraries down here. Or Google. Huh? You will never find these things in Google.
Amen.
Or anywhere else down here. Did you notice that Daniel's deliverance came from heaven?
Amen.
And so we talked about this. Why pray? One reason we pray is working with heaven. That's why. And what did Daniel say when the king said, Oh Daniel, was your God able to do anything? He said, God sent an angel. From where?
Heaven.
From where? So the answer, and the reason I said it is because you see that all through this book. And you know, we talked about what Jacob saw. The King James says he saw a ladder. But really that word could be translated stairway or even highway. He saw a path between earth and heaven. And he saw angels ascending and descending. He saw activity. He saw movement going back and forth between heaven and earth.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. What was it? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. And there's a connection between earth and heaven. There's activity back and forth. And so here, you're going to see the same kind of thing that Daniel said. You know, he's reading in the scripture. That's where it started, in the Bible. He's reading in the scriptures. He sees this, and the Spirit of God obviously helped him to understand. He thought, well, how long has it been already? I mean, at some point, this thing should be winding up. We should be getting out of here. Could any of that apply to us? At some point, this thing should be winding up. Trumpet should be sounding. Huh? At some point, we're getting out of here. Do we need to know the main things that need to happen between now and then?
Yes.
So that we're not wandering around, wasting our time. Should we seek for some things? Seek. Will you find automatically if you don't seek?
No,
you won't. Because the Lord told us to seek. And most people are not going to find out things like Daniel did, because they won't do what Daniel did. Man, when he got on a track of something, he was on it. And he'd stay on it for days and weeks at a time. And he found it. And wrote it down. So you and I could enjoy it today. Verse 3. I set my face to the Lord God to do what? To do what?
To seek.
To seek how?
Prayer.
By prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth. And is he serious about finding this out?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. And a lot of times the reason why people don't find things, they are not serious. They won't even ask. They won't even try to find it. And it's not because it's hard for God to show us something. What you'll find out is the reason it takes such persistence is because there is such evil resistance.
Amen.
Come on, say it out loud. It takes persistence.
Because
there is resistance.
There is resistance.
That's why it takes persistence. Not because God is slow. Not because God is just making you wait for no reason. The enemy does not want light coming into the earth. Because what will light do for you? The light of truth, it'll make you free. Right? He does not want the light of the gospel. He doesn't want revelation of the word of God dawning on the church and spilling over into the streets. And oh, he wants it dark, dark, dark. Everybody dumb, ignorant. Knowing nothing about the things of God. Because that way he can just oppress everybody without being resisted. But you and I need to make up your mind. We want more light coming into the earth. We want more light. More revelation. We want the word of God running free course. All over this place. We want the Spirit of God moving. Manifesting. Oh, the devil hates it. We thrill to it. Right? But it won't just fall on us because we would like for it to. There must be some asking. There must be some seeking. There must be some believing, some persistence. There must be some knocking and some action. And so Daniel did. He said, I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer. Seek, seek. By prayer, I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession. And I said, and we have a pretty good excerpt of word for word what Daniel prayed. This is valuable. This is precious. He said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. How many know you start off prayer magnifying God?
Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. You, your greatness, your kingdom. And he goes on to say, verse 5, we have sinned. You do not need to play games. If you're in a mess and you're in a jam and you're in a bad way, you do not need to play dumb as to how you got there. Huh? It will not track with God. Why is their home country desolate? Why were their enemies able to defeat them to begin with? Huh? Why? Why is he there as a captive? Even though he's prosperous, he's not home. Because we've sinned. And we rebelled. And I won't read through the rest of it, but he repents for his country. Are there some things we can and should repent for? For our country. Remember, he said, if my people call by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn, right, from their wicked way. He goes on to say, I'll forgive. Well, there must be something to forgive.
Yes.
Right? So we need to repent. Man, we got all kind of false idol worship in our country. We got all kind of rebellion and violence and lying and, I mean, all kind of stuff. But God still loves us. He still loves his church. And the gospel's still going out from this great place. But more than most. We should not pretend that everything's wonderful in the U.S. of A. And everybody's godly. And we deserve any of his blessings. Because it just ain't true. He repented. He got serious about it. And basically he's saying, God, the reason we're in this mess is because we didn't listen. We didn't listen to you. We rebelled against you. We forsook your words and your statutes and your commandments. Worshipped other gods. Provoked you to anger. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. That's what he said. But he didn't stop there. He said, verse 8, Lord, to us belongs confusion of face. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. But to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And verse 16, he said, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I beseech you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that's desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold, look at our desolations and the city that's called by your name. For we don't present our supplication before you for our righteousness, but for your great mercies. Is this some good praying or is this some good praying?
Yes.
Woo, that's some good prayer. Should you pray this way?
Yes.
Should I pray this way? Is this a prayer God can hear? Why do you have it recorded for us? Yeah. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. Don't wait. For your own sake, O my God, for your people and your city and your people that are called by your name. That sounds just like the verse we referred to, if my people that are called by my name. And look at verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yeah, while I was speaking in prayer. You know, the prophet prophesied that I'll answer while you're speaking. Hallelujah. Did Daniel mean business with this prayer? Oh yeah, he's not playing. Now see, you won't seek like this unless you are convinced you can find it.
Amen.
If you're not fully convinced, you'll give up after 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Or especially after a day or two. Tell me why it takes time on some of these things. Why you need persistence. Because And you see it right here. There's resistance. While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, began caused to fly swiftly and touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So there were many hours, but it wasn't because God was waiting. The answer was on the way.
Amen.
The answer was in transit. The answer was moving at great speed. Now, we don't know how far heaven is from earth, but it's got to be a long way.
Amen.
Huh? And so he's moving swiftly. When the Bible says he's flying swiftly, God doesn't exaggerate. I would like to know, you know, I like speed too. I would like to know how fast that is. But swiftly. And he informed me and he talked to me. He said, "Oh, Daniel, I'm now come forth to give you skill and understanding." To do what? I'm going to give you something. Was Daniel asking for something? He was. Ask and it'll be given. Was he looking for something? Was he seeking for something? He was. And the answer was sent to him to show him what he's looking for, to give him what he was hungering to understand. "At the beginning of your supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." And he just opens it up to him. And quotes back to him the passage he read and the passage he was praying. And asked, isn't that right? 70 weeks are determined upon your people. That's exactly what he starts his prayer with back over here.
Yep.
Right? What he asked to understand and to see. Now look with me over in that's the ninth chapter. Have you got just another minute or so to finish this up? In the, let's see, I believe it's the 11th chapter. Let me make sure here. Let's look at 10 for a moment. 10, Daniel did some more of this. Well, he's been extremely successful with it, hasn't he? So he decides, I'm going to get some more. I'm going to find out some more things. Reckon what we could find out.
Amen.
Huh? If we would seek God earnestly, sincerely in prayer. If we would ask and not doubt, if we would seek and not give up, could we find out some things?
Yes.
Could we? Yeah, the Lord wants us to. He's the one who told us, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. And so Daniel began to do this some more. And he had a visitation. And the scripture said, without reading all of it, he said, verse 12, verse 11, he said, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent." From where? Heaven. This is an angel. "And when he had spoken this word, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God.'" Now hold up. He set his heart to what? So is he looking for something? Is he seeking for something? See, he wants to understand this and he believes God will give it to him. And so he's after it. And a big part of this we would call prayer. And he said, "Your words were heard, and I am come for your words."
Okay.
Why is he there? Because of Daniel's praying.
Right.
He said, "That's why I'm here. Because of what you prayed. Because of your words. That's why I'm here. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." Do you see resistance here? 21 days. "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Is this real? Is this was this really happening? Anybody remember in the New Testament? Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. You can put it on the screen for us. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against what? The rulers of the darkness. Now this is not flesh and blood. He just got through saying that. So this ruler of darkness of this world is a spiritual entity. Or spiritual entities, not human beings. And against spiritual wickedness in high places, or that word is the heavenlies. Not the heaven of heavens, but below that, in space and in our atmosphere. For what? What was going on? Here comes answers from heaven, flying swiftly. And here comes evil entities that are ruling and controlling things on the planet, trying to stop that light and those answers from getting into the earth. Can you see this? But because Daniel wouldn't quit. Huh? A day? 5 days? 15 days? 21? Come on, y'all with me? Huh? Can you see why in these same passages it says, having done all to stand? Huh? Stand. Stand. Why? Don't give up and it'll get through. Don't give up and you'll get the answer. Don't give up and you'll find out what you need to find out. And oh, when the Lord opens up your understanding and shows you how you got here, what needs to change, how you get from here to where you need to be, you'll shout and praise God the rest of the year.
Amen.
You'll think, glory to God, all I got to do is change this and do this and I'm golden.
Oh,
hallelujah, here we go. Here we go. But the devil will do everything he can to blind your mind, to distract you. Get you to just watching stupid stuff on the internet and TV for endless hours. People say, you're not talking about praying hours at a time. Well, you sit on the internet hours at a time. In the movie theater hours at a time. From the TV. It's not that you can't do it. It's just direct your focus somewhere else. Direct your focus to God and stay on track with Him and stay on focus with Him, asking, believing, seeking. Oh, somebody say seeking.
Seeking,
seeking. He said, I was withstood. But now, verse 14, I'm come to make you understand. How many want God to come make you understand some things? Yeah. What will befall your people in the last days? And so he went on to say in verse 20, know wherefore I come to you, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone, the prince of Grecia shall come. These are not human beings. These are rulers over the spiritual darkness that's controlling the people that's in leadership. That's why sometimes people have good intentions of going to Washington, D.C., or going to somewhere else to serve in the Senate or House or a judge or whoever. And when they get there, so many times people change. And they don't know, people say, well, what in the world? Oh, it's just crooked. Everybody's crooked. No, there are strong spiritual entities that are pushing these people. And if you don't know, if you're not born again, and you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know what to resist, you'll be bent, and you'll be yielding, and you'll be changing, and you'll do and say some stuff, and you'll say, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And that's why people get themselves in a mess and don't know how to get out of it. Which is why we better pray. We better pray. I said we need to pray. Pray. And believe God. And ask. And seek. And knock. And when we do, and we do it in faith, and we won't quit, heaven's forces are mobilized. Hallelujah. Activity. happens and increases between heaven and earth, and earth and heaven and earth, and God's will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.